2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to read verses 6 to 15 there. Because I wasn't able to be in the pulpit last week, I'm trying to make up for it a little bit by having two sermons this week on Thanksgiving. As I had promised, I was going to go through a series of sermons on Thanksgiving. I was going to do one every Sunday, and of course, Thanksgiving as well, but the surgery changed that a little bit. So I'm going to be doing two Thanksgiving messages that way today, one on Christian charity, the other on thankful prayer, and then we'll be able to get caught back up on the series, and we'll take up the catechism. For me, it'll be after a couple of weeks yet, because next Sunday, of course, Reverend Vanderhart's going to be leading us in worship on Sunday night. But let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll read verses 6 to 15. Here's what God's Word says there. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission, flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And with that, let's take a moment to respond in prayer. Father, we do ask that your word may be of blessing to us. We might serve you well in this hour by an attentive ear, and that our spirits and our hearts may be softened for your word and readied for it now, even as it's about to be ministered to us. And may it result, dear Father, in an abundance of good works that stem from a confession of faith in the gospel of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. May you accept our prayers to these ends. We ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is no festival among us that is more associated with the giving of presents like Christmas time is. While you see that happening during times of anniversaries and birthdays, you boys and girls, I know you can't wait for your birthday to come because you know, among other things, you're going to get presents. You also know that you like to give presents to your mothers and fathers and Mother's Day and Father's Day. But when else do people give presents in such abundance as people do at Christmas time? We know that's coming. We see it in our society, right? The ads are out. The advertisements are taking shape and place. And because even business knows that people want to give gifts. They want to give presents at Christmas time. But while Christmas time is a time of giving, it cannot be denied that Thanksgiving is a time of giving as well. Not that people are giving presents so much, But it's a time when giving takes place in other ways, of praise, of prayers, in gifts of generosity to the poor and needy causes. And it's not surprising that Thanksgiving carries with it a spirit of giving, because it's found in the very term that we use. It's not thanks-taking, it's Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, of course, is more than a festival. It's a virtuous way of life for the Christian. And we've been desirous in this month that is so often associated in America with Thanksgiving to dwell on various facets of Thanksgiving to which the follower of Christ has been called. And we've reflected 2 weeks ago on the continual place of Thanksgiving in the heart of the Christian, not necessarily for every circumstance, but certainly in every circumstance. But we also want to bear in mind the various ways in which that Thanksgiving can be expressed, starting with the Christian call to generosity or charity or Christian giving, pausing to ponder some of the virtues of Christian giving this morning. Such charity is an aspect of Thanksgiving. It follows the divine example, and it also leads and breeds further Thanksgiving. So we want to think about those three thoughts this morning as we consider some virtues of Christian charity and giving. So we start by considering that Christian giving is an aspect or expression of thanksgiving. Perhaps no element of thanksgiving is as explicit or obvious for us to behold. Thanksgiving includes giving. But as we give in the spirit of thanksgiving, we can draw some conclusions about such charity, and I'd like to consider a few of them this morning with you. When we consider charity as an aspect of thanksgiving, we can define it, and there's different ways you can do this, but we can define it as a worthwhile response freely imparted by someone who has been the recipient of something worthwhile in the first place. It's a worthwhile response that's freely imparted by somebody who has been the recipient of something worthwhile in the first place. And that's how Paul comes at charity as he speaks to the Corinthian church. That's how he has been addressing the calling of the Corinthians to give to the cause of the saints in Jerusalem a giving which evidently, as we could read earlier in the chapter, that has been delayed. And Paul's addressing that delay. It's actually something that he talks about already in chapter 8. And he's addressing that delay and he's saying, you know, we need to have you fill your promise. We need for you to follow up. And he brings people out to talk to them about it, and he gives them examples of the people in Achaia and Macedonia who have been good examples about giving. And so Paul's addressing that whole issue of charity with them. He directs the attention of the Corinthians to that which they have received in order to encourage them to their own giving. It's how the passage really that we're looking at, looking at it from a larger standpoint, from chapter 8 to chapter 9, it's really how it ends, and it's really how it begins. He starts and tells them, think about what Jesus was for you. He who was rich became poor for your sake, so that you could be rich in him. And he concludes the whole idea and with that doxology, as it were, where he says, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Well, let's draw attention to some of the facets of thankful Christian charity that we can pull out of this passage. First of all, thanksgiving presumes that receiving has already taken place. You could add words between thanksgiving such as these. You could break that word up and put some words in between and say something like this. Thanks for what you have given me is coming in the form of me giving. Thanks for what you have given me is coming in the form of me giving. Thanksgiving isn't thanks-taking. It's not looking for gain. It's giving as someone who has already gained, who's already been endowed. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. I've been made rich by the poverty of Christ, by his generosity. It's the gain that way. The gain is why you're giving. If you give with a thankful spirit, then it should be a giving that isn't expecting anything in return. You are expressing the return. You don't give thanks as someone who has received nothing looking for something. You already have something worthwhile. And that's why you're responding with thanksgiving. You're returning thanks. That's one thing to keep in mind. Secondly, that then thanksgiving of any kind, but certainly of giving or generosity, is not an initiation. It's a response. Again, you're not seeking to be a recipient. You've already been a recipient. You've been endowed. You've been given the gift. And giving that is done in the spirit of thanksgiving realizes that. It always keeps that in mind. And it seeks, as we'll see in a moment, to give as it's already been given. But it presumes that a giving has already taken place. Giving in the spirit of thanksgiving is a worthwhile action. You sow, as the passage says, in the very first verse of this passage that we read, you sow bountifully. You abound, says the apostle here, you abound in every good work. And why is that? It's because God has abounded in you with his grace. He says there is a surpassing grace that's at work in you. He speaks about how you have been enriched at all times and in every way. The reflective element comes into play again here. But when we give in the spirit of thanksgiving, what we're doing is we're realizing that somebody has given unto us something of value. And when it comes to God, abundantly so, surpassingly so, inexpressibly so, enrichingly so. And we appreciate what has been done that way. We appreciate what someone, and in this particular case, what God has done or God has given, and we value it. And when we give thanks by giving, that giving is that which we seek to give so that what is given also carries a value of abundance from our heart as well. It's a giving in kind that way. Giving in the spirit of thanksgiving can be expressed directly or indirectly. In our passage, Paul is exhorting the Corinthians to give to those in need in Jerusalem. Now, somebody might say, well, that's an initiating act, isn't it? I mean, you see a need and you fill it. They're not expecting Jerusalem to give in return. They haven't necessarily given to them. They're giving in an initiatory kind of way. So doesn't that show that this is a giving that's not a response but an initiation? Aren't they initiating this act? And if so, isn't that also what Thanksgiving's all about? Well, yes and no. Yes, they're giving to those who have not given to them first, monetarily at least. But the giving is done, first of all, because of the abundance of what God has done. How God has been good to them for giving his son. How Jesus has been good to them by becoming poor for their sake. By God continuing to supply their needs. Seed for the sower, food for the eater, or bread for the eater, or bread for food. Now you can give thanks back directly to God with prayer and praise or gifts at worship, very directly, but you're also giving indirectly to God when you're giving to those causes and those needs that are being filled by the gifts that are endowed out of a motivation for what God has first done for us. So thanksgiving can be done directly or indirectly. Giving is an act that in itself, like thanksgiving in general, it has many facets to it. You can give of your time, your talents, your effort, or you can indeed give with your resources of merchandise or money. What some cannot give monetarily can be given in other ways that express the spirit of a thankful heart, because God wants us, says the passage, to abound in every good work. Another point, giving in the spirit of thanksgiving is intended to be a joyous act. It's intended to be a joyous act. And indeed, giving in the spirit of thanksgiving will be a joyous act. Otherwise, it's not coming from a thankful spirit at all. And then it falls into some other category. But it's not thankful giving. The Lord doesn't put a gun to people's heads and say, cough it up. There's a need here. Fill it. Here's the bag. Now here again, we'll talk more about this in a moment. But like our passage says, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. He loves someone who is glad for what the Lord has done for him or her, who knows without a doubt what God has done and has given. And so in piggybacking on that, we have to understand too that giving in the spirit of thanksgiving then is a special kind of giving. Not all giving is the same, is it? I can be giving for a host of reasons. If I give to the government, it's taxation. I don't have a choice. That's a compulsion for me. I'm required to do that, whether I like it or not. If I'm a slave to another, then that giving is done out of compulsion. If I make payments on a loan, that's a business transaction. I may be thankful that somebody's willing me to lend money to me, but my giving there is not necessarily out of a grateful heart. I'm compelled to give, legally bound. Nor is the giving out of a thankful spirit meant to be viewed as that which is given in order to save. You know, it's interesting, I was just talking to somebody the other day about how in the business world, how oftentimes when people are looking for money to give to hospitals and things like that, people give for all kinds of reasons. Some people are giving because they want a place in heaven. Again, that kind of giving isn't thanksgiving, is it? Because it presumes that we have nothing, that we've received nothing, and we're trying to earn what we have yet to receive. Right? If I go to the grocery stores, I'm not going to be able to walk out of there with them unless I pay for them first. I give, but it's not a gift of thanksgiving. I give before I receive. Nor is giving from a thankful spirit the same as someone giving for recognition or publicity or even out of emotion, where you see something that about makes you want to cry and you just open your wallet up because you just can't help but give. You could give $1 million to a project. Well, doesn't that make your business look good? Now, giving in a spirit of thanksgiving is a special kind of giving. It's given by somebody who has already received. It gives freely and cheerfully. Not because somebody told them they had to give. Even though that you could say about giving that giving is a sacred duty to which the Lord calls us. The passage speaks about the righteousness to which we're called that way. But the spirit in which we give to fill a need is not to be, I had to do that, but I want to do that. I have thanks to give, you see. And by being generous, that's one of the ways that I can carry it out. Giving in the spirit of thanks is also perpetual. See that in this passage. We are to abound in thanks, says the apostle. He quotes from Psalm 112, verse 9, not Psalm 111, which deals with God's generosity, but Psalm 112 that deals with the response of the righteous man to God's generosity. In verse 9, he has distributed freely, he's given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Our righteousness endures forever because God's gift of his Son has eternal consequences. But also God's giving abounds and enriches in the life of the Christian. He's the one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. And when we've known God for his continual grace, both physically and spiritually, that's the kind of grace the apostle says that we want to show as well. And that leads us really to the second point that's partially been emphasized already, and that is that giving is a divine reflection. It's a divine reflection. The entirety of what Paul's driving at here, namely a generous spirit to fill the needs that exist, is concluded, as I mentioned earlier, with the exhortation, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. All he has to say, he concludes it with that. Thanks. What gift can there be, save for the gift of God? What I'm trying to say with that is, when we're talking here about this gift, there's nothing like it, and it needs to be that which spurs us on, and it needs to be a reflection that we carry out ourselves, not in an inexpressible way, but certainly inexpressible way. Paul makes the point that God continues to give in abundance. He provides seed to the sower, bread for food. He provides what's needed. He supplies our daily bread, and along with that, graciously gives us all things. And he does so freely, so generously, so abundantly to us, as those are our products of his grace in Christ. So he says, in that spirit, he says, so when there's a need to be filled, the way that the apostle addresses the need and the calling to give by the church to the church is by grace and not by quota. He says that in chapter 8, verse 8. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. He doesn't ask if you have given your quota. He doesn't ask if you have reached the threshold of whatever bar that people are putting up. And he doesn't come with a bat in his hand and say to the church, pay up or you'll get yours. Now, he does mention that a tight-fisted nature isn't going to be blessed, but his main approach when he comes to the matter of giving is for people to give with a cheerful heart, a thankful heart, considering the grace of God, to reflect that. And that's the Christian's whole life, isn't it? Abound in good works because God's grace abounds in you. Come to worship. Ought you to come? Yeah, you ought to come. But do it considering the grace of God. And the more you do, the more this isn't going to be a have-to time, but a want-to time. Love one another as Christ loved you. Forgive one another as God forgave you. Consider the grace of God to you when you give as well. That's what the apostles say. I mean, who cares if you give 10% if you don't give out of a grateful heart? Look at a need to be filled for the cause or the church of Christ, not with a heart that of limits and thresholds, but a heart abounding with gratitude. That's the apostles' calling here. Because when the grace of God is the motivator of our giving, what a difference that'll make in looking at needs that have to be filled for the church of Christ and the cause of Christ. Paul would say that our giving is a kind of profession of faith in God. It proves it genuine. It shows that we truly appreciate the giving that the Lord has done for us, because we're seeking to give ourselves with a spirit of thanks, of course. What a privilege that the Lord gives us to reflect Him that way. He fills our biggest and smallest needs, our physical and spiritual needs, and He uses us as well as His instruments to fill the needs of others and to fill the needs of the cause of Christ. And that's a marvelous thing. One other matter to keep in mind, and that is that giving in the spirit of thanksgiving also leads to further thanksgiving. That's one of the things that Paul brings out here too. He says that the ministry, verse 12, not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God by their approval of this service. They'll glorify God because of your submission, flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. Well, they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. One of the most noticeable things about giving is that it fills needs. I mean, I think most people get that. But Paul says giving thankfully does more than that. Not only does it meet needs, but it causes others to return thanks to God. It's contagious. Prayers of supplication get answered, and that leads to thanksgiving to God. God is glorified that way. But when people are recipients of Christian giving, they can give thanks to the Lord as well for those people who gave, because they can see that God's grace is at work in them. And here again, we see the marvel of how God in His infinite wisdom and grace allows us the privilege of being used by Him so that in turn, thanksgiving to God might be expressed because of the grace of God at work in our lives. God's grace breeds grace. Our thanks in giving breeds thanksgiving from those who have been the recipients of thankful giving. Giving has a great impact when it's done in the spirit of thanksgiving. Not just to meet the need that people may have, but to cause the spirit of thanksgiving to grow in other people. And that way you might say again that thankful giving is contagious that way. And so as we're called to give as Christians then, let's not lose sight of the spirit in which we are to give. A thankful spirit, reflecting the grace of God given to us in Christ. And a thankful spirit that others catch when needs are filled. There are always needs to fill on this side of glory. And may God help us to fill them as those who believe in the God who always fills our needs in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Amen.